Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. Tomorrow is the day that we celebrate our Lord's Ascension. So today on Ascension Eve, we also recognize that in our hymn and in our reading as well as our devotion for today. If you look in the book of Psalms, it's amazing how you can find the life of Christ, even though many of them were written 1,000 years or more earlier. The life of Christ spoken about prophetically in those psalms so beautifully. And we have that today as well. Let us join together in the responsive reading of our Ascension Psalmody as you find it on your bulletin for today. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. It's very common in our churches here in what we would call Western Christianity to have a depiction of Christ on the cross, as we have here, or maybe in other settings where he is maybe praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, or possibly with the children, often very earthly scenes with Christ during his earthly ministry. But in the Eastern Church, quite often, the scene that you have above the altar, the painting and the depiction of Christ, is that of the ascended Christ, who is now all-powerful in the heavens. There's a name for that image, Christus Pantocrator, Christ over all the world, powerful one over all the world. And there's a reason for it theologically. It goes back to the Arian controversy. Back in the early church, and you've probably learned this in your religion classes, there was a pastor by the name of Arius that began to falsely teach that Christ was not really fully divine. There was a time when he did not exist as God, and so that would make him not entirely fully God. And this is what the great Nicene Creed was written around to try to address. And that's why the Nicene Creed has such a statement on who Christ actually is. Very God of very God. And so in their churches, to really make sure people understood this, they started to paint these large, enormous images of Christ that would be high up above the altar, seated in glory and in authority. Sad to say, sometimes appearing like a stern judge. But here would be this huge image of Christ, and the halo around his head would be painted in shiny gold paint to show his divine nature and to really emphasize that. And so the ascended Christ really became a very important image for many Eastern Christians. And you can still see that in many of the ancient churches today. Our Lord is spoken about often regarding his position of authority now as the ascended Savior. Jesus himself said to his disciples before he ascended, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," as he sent them out to go and make disciples. Paul writes about Jesus and he says, "God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, both in heaven and on earth and under the earth," and so on. To the Ephesians in another place, besides the chapter we're in for our reading today, he writes, "God has placed all things under his feet and have appointed him to be head over everything for the church." And so sometimes we can get the sense that the ascended Christ, who is now so powerful and high and in the heavens, is so far removed and above us and beyond us, otherworldly. And yet, the ascension of Christ in the Bible is always connected very much to our earthly lives. And it always is given to us in a way that shows it has a tremendous impact for us in our earthly lives. So let's consider today what Christ's ascension signals for you and me. First of all, that the victory, the payment for all of our sins is all done. It's completely finished. There's nothing more that needs to be added. There's nothing left on the plate to be accomplished before we can be sure of having our heaven. I know sometimes I can be tempted to be a little bit afraid about Judgment Day and about, well, what if God brings this up? What if God brings that up in my life? What if he brings up that sin I've struggled with my whole life, or the thing that I fell into the deepest at some point? And sometimes those fears can make us wonder, is there something incomplete? Is there something yet that has to be done? Well, our ascended Lord, his ascension is a signal to you and me from God. It's all done. It is finished, as Jesus said on the cross. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not a single chance of being condemned if you're inside of Christ by faith. In the last 10 years or so, the great Olympic sprinter Usain Bolt has won multiple Olympics and known for his tremendous speed. And usually at the end of every one of his victories, he will go and grab a Jamaican flag from somebody in the front row and hold it behind his head and triumphantly take another lap around the Olympic circle and showing the victory of his country, this tiny little Jamaica, over all the other countries of the world. That's become a very famous photograph. Think of our Lord's ascension sort of in the same way, that Christ now has won the victory, defeated the victory over hell itself. He went down and descended into the depths of hell after his victory on the cross to carry the flag of the Christian church, to carry the flag of heaven, and to wave it over all the enemies of the church. And as he now triumphantly rises into heaven, his victory means tremendous things for us. His ascension means also that his work is done here. His next job of preparing a home for every one of you in heaven is what he is now undertaking, getting things ready for us. And he promises, I will come back and take you to be with me. But in the meantime, in this life as well, the Lord continues to distribute gifts to the members of his church. Listen to what our text says. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It's interesting that the very people who were at one time enemies of Christ and his church have now, by the power of the gospel, been made allies with him, have now been put on the side of the victory. And he's worked this in people's hearts. He captures people and takes them out of the captivity of the devil by capturing them. And now through the gospel creates faith in our hearts to become one of his great allies and one of the benefactors of his work. Think about some of the individuals in Scripture we see this so beautifully in. Think of Saul, who is a persecutor of the church, going out imprisoning Christians. He hated Christ, and yet Christ comes and drops him off of his horse and converts him to the very faith and uses him to be the primary author of New Testament epistles. The jailer at Philippi comes falling in before Paul and Silas, just about ready to kill himself as a depressed man, giving up his role of being a dad to his family. And yet through the power of the gospel, he's brought now into the kingdom of grace and becomes an evangelist to his very family, taking Paul back to his house. Think of the woman at the well, living in her sins of adultery and fornication for many years, and yet confronted by Christ with law and gospel, is brought to faith. She runs back to her hometown and tells people, you got to come and meet this man. He's captured people, pulled them out of their own sinful captivity, captured them now for the glories of heaven, and uses them in his kingdom. And St. Paul says that this happened to each one of us. These gifts have now been given to each one of us. Just like a conquering general who goes through and conquers a place, but then he takes the very victims he's conquered and gives them gifts. And he lets them share in the plunder of his victory. So often in the Bible, when God addresses our Lord's ascension, it's not just about him being in heaven, but it's also about the connection that powerful Christ has to you in your life and the mission of his church here in this world. So your heart, like a spoil of war, has been captured and taken as plunder by Christ. And he now converts it into being one of his children and will use it to benefit the work of his kingdom. Just think who we serve. We serve the Lord of all. So whatever it is in your life, whatever you do that's for the kingdom of God, go about that work with full confidence. Go about that work with absolute dedication, because the gates of hell can't prevail against it. You serve the eternal Christ of the heavens. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Please turn with me to page 157 in the front part of the hymn book, page 157. And there you'll find prayer or collect number 75. Let us join in our hearts and voices with that. O Jesus Christ, Almighty Son of God, you are no longer in humiliation here on earth, but are seated at the right hand of your Father, Lord over all things. We beseech you, send us your Holy Spirit. Give your church pious pastors, preserve your word, control and restrain the devil and all who would oppress us, mightily uphold your kingdom until all your enemies have been put under your feet, that we may hold the victory over sin, death, and the devil, through you who live and reign with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.